be seated. The God who rescues. For the next several weeks, I'll be doing a series looking at a beloved parable and a beloved psalm and seeing the parallels between the two. A couple of years ago, back in Doe Run in East Texas, the pastor of the Presbyterian Church didn't do them both together, but did a series on the Psalms and then a series on the parables. I didn't get the idea from the pastor there, but that's what happened. And Tom, you know, Tom was there to hear them all. You know, the gentleman who owns the best body shop in five counties and auto repair. Member at the Presbyterian Church. And the Sunday that the pastor there did Psalm 51, a story came to Tom's mind. A gentleman in town named Stan. Stan had grown up there, had gone and served for many years, a good number of years, in the United States Marine Corps, and had been excellent as a Marine. He was a Marine's Marine. Now, there were some demons, and that's a whole other story, that he brought to him, with him into the service, and some he picked up along the way. And in the years that followed that he was back, at times he battled with them, and not regularly, but it was not unusual that he had lost the battle. And once again, a Saturday, with his teenage son, he had lost his temper. Stan went to the garage, and there he started to shine shoes. He got into that. He was always kind of fastidious about things like that, but just definitely in the core, between work boots, hunting boots, and dress shoes, he had a whole slew, and he had a whole bench when he would go. But when he went to shine shoes, he went to shine shoes, okay? And so there he is working, and we'll come back to him. There was the Sunday that the parable of the father, the two sons, was preached. Tom heard that one, and his mind immediately went to an older brother. When we hear this story, we always start with the younger. I always do too, but he went to the older one, and I'm going to call this guy Stanislaus. Never used that name before, thought I'd do this Sunday. Now, Stanislaus was the model child. He's the older brother, and I mean, he's the child everybody wants. Everybody points, why can't you be like him, that kind of thing. And somewhere along the road, Stanislaus had grown cold in heart. Now, he'd gone off, he was actually living in Dallas, was doing very well, and he came back at the right times for the dutiful visits back home. There would be no gossip, because he came back at all the right times to make the right visits and to even say the right things to the right people. Only someone as discerning as Tom noticed the pattern, that there was something different in his return visits compared to those who had, you know, grown up there, lived elsewhere, Houston, wherever, and came back. Tom saw there is a difference here. And then one day, the older son came home unannounced. And we'll get back to that one in a moment as well. These two, the psalm, this parable, speak to two well-known stories. The story of the two prodigals, the two sons. And you've got the first. You've got that son, the younger brother, who asks for his inheritance in advance. In that time and place and culture, that is an insult, a scandal in the community. The father gives it, and off he goes into the far country of wild living. Think of Las Vegas at its worst, or maybe another place that comes to your mind. And he blows the money, and we've all seen that happen. Someone gets the big money, and they go through it like water through a sieve. And he is reduced to working and tending pigs. That lets us know he is not in the homeland. because he's looking after pigs. As somebody who is Jewish, it is degrading to look after pigs, the unclean animal. I cannot think of a delicate, genteel way to put it. So I'm going to let your imagination just run wild. Not only that, he wants the food that they eat. I cannot imagine how low he was at that point. And for him, this is a wake-up call. This is not right. And he has a plan to go back. And maybe you have had your moment, your rock bottom moment. His idea is, I will go back as a hired hand. I'll live in the bunkhouse, not the big house. I'll only ask for 3 hots and a cot. And so he goes back. Psalm 51 comes from the life of David and what I have called Bathsheba Gate. The story is told that when the kings go to war in the spring, David is home. And he wasn't sick. And that's where the problem starts. You're supposed to be in doing king business, not having a midlife crisis, David. But anyway, he is there. He sees Bathsheba. He sees what he sees. He asks. She's married. Should have been in. He pursues. There is a child as a consequence. A child on the way. David sets it up for Uriah to be back to kind of cover it up. But Uriah does not play in, unwittingly would play into the plan. And so for plan B, Uriah is killed in the battlefield. You wonder how many men died in that cover-up. Nathan the prophet confronts him by telling a story, a man with a lot of lambs and one with just one, and the one with a lot of lambs takes the little one. And David is angry at that. It's like the David that we know from Psalm 23 is speaking. And Nathan says, "You are that man." Now, we all know the saying, it's not what you say, it's how you said it. One of the truest sayings I've ever heard. So we don't know how Nathan said it. Was it with anger or attitude? Or was it with compassion? Was it, "David, that's you. You're better than that." And to hear that, David takes that hard look in the mirror. Just like the prodigal son, David is the prodigal king. And this psalm is part of his return home. Back to the story of our prodigal son. The father responds when he sees him running out to him. It has been shared before, was a scholar that went to the Middle East and spoke with Bedouins who lived a culture very similar to that of those who first heard the stories of Jesus, these parables. He knew they weren't Christians, so it was a fresh audience. And would share the parables and just what was their reactions. And when it came to this parable, one thing they were incredibly shocked, that a man of such dignity would run. Men like that, they don't run, they walk. To run is to sacrifice your dignity. But the father was willing to do that. But it was also something else. The son had shamed the community, in fact, by his actions of taking the inheritance. And for an honor code society, he deserved the death penalty. And so by the father running out and hugging him, is basically saying, if you want to go after him, you got to go through me. I will put my life on the line for my son. Or at best saying, it's a family matter. Family's handled it. Go have a nice day. David confesses in Psalm 51 his wrongdoing. And he will have to deal with the consequences. As a sidebar, This speaks to one of those great mysteries. Why, when those who have gone astray, they pay with consequences, but they get a discount. And others, when they pay with interest. It's a mystery. He will pay with interest, but he is forgiven. And from this, he speaks of his confession, but also forgiveness and healing and restoration that I can tell others. In a way, he speaks of a David 2.0. He will come out bruised, but internally, he will come out better. This story, these stories, have more layers than a South Georgia caramel cake. I'm only covering just a few today. Restoration of the son. He is welcomed back as a son. What will the future hold? We don't know. And in fact, we're left hanging. Because the older son has refused hospitality. And that is a major faux pas as well. That's, in a way, I think of good kid rebellion, where outwardly I will do all the right things. I'm not going to go off that far country. But that's only so far. But even then, the father goes out to him and reaches out. The father reaches out to both. And in effect, this story ends with a question. What will the older son do next? Psalm 51 ends with the theme, I will tell others, but we know more will come. So what about Stan, our father, U.S. Marine Corps? When we left, he's gone to polish the shoes and the boots. He's got oils and creams and soaps. In fact, at one time, and there's a whole other story behind that, Tom had gotten him a job working in a shoe repair place, polishing place in the back. But that's a whole other story for another day. As he is cleaning those boots and those shoes, the words come to mind, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." That next Sunday, he's back in church with the family. And he goes back to his support group. It's been hard. He's forgiven. He seeks reconciliation. And then we have Stanislaus, that model son, that only comes back at the correct times. And now he is back unannounced. Well, he had attended the funeral for a friend's father. And he knows that he is held back too far and too cold. He knows, I need to come home. I need to really come home. And his father is there to greet him. We see from these stories a cry for mercy and a waiting father. We see here in God's nature, and we see in Jesus Christ, one who reveals a God who runs to the broken before they arrive with their rehearsed apologies. In fact, in a brief statement, one of our creeds of the PCUSA, it speaks of that characteristic of God, the one who runs to welcome the prodigal. It's not because we deserve it, Because we are desperate. The triune God is not a distant deity waiting for performance, but the triune God is a relational God. We are not servants trying to earn affection, but we are children being invited into joyful intimacy. The Holy Spirit convicts not just the rebellious heart, but the hardened, resentful heart. So both are drawn into the Father's joy. And it is costly. Forgiveness is not mere pardon, it is restoration. It is to be celebrated. It reestablishes the relationship and brings renewal to it. It costs the Father his dignity, maybe even a little bit of a standing in the community. And he was willing to risk his life. It cost Jesus Christ his very life. Today, you may need to come clean and confess, or maybe there is a coldness of heart to present to God. Maybe today is a day that you need to come home in one form or another. Today is Trinity Sunday, so it's a good reminder that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are there to meet you, to greet you, and to bring you inside. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now let us stand and affirm our faith.